Okay, we're starting here on the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shumeret Yavam, Ben Liyavam Echad, Ben Lishnei Yavamin, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yafer. So when you have a situation in which a woman is a Shumeret Yavam, meaning that she was already either engaged, had Erusin, or possibly even Nisuin, that's a Machloket in the Achronim, what exactly was the relationship with the original husband, but her husband now has passed away, and they had no children between them. So now she falls to his brother for Yibum. So this woman who is a Shomeret Yavam, whether there is one brother that can possibly perform Yibum, whether there are two brothers that can perform Yibum, Rabbi Eliezer says, Yafer, that you can be Mefer the Nidarim that she has taken and that she takes. Now obviously the Gemara will have to deal with this. If there are two Yavamim, there are two brothers here, how exactly do you accomplish the hafara here if we don't know which one of them is the husband? And the Gemara will address that issue. Rashi already on the spot already indicates what the Gemara is going to say, that one of them becomes the primary Yavam, and that's what allows them to do the hafara over here. And then Rabbi Yeshua Amar, Lechad Avod Lo Lishnayim. What do you say, Rabbi Eliezer, is true when there's only one Yavam, when there's only one possible brother who can perform Yibum? Then he has a right of hafara. Aval lo lishnayim, when there are two brothers that could possibly form Yibum, in that instance, there is no opportunity for them to do hafara. Rabbi Kiva omer, lo le'echad v'lo lishnayim. Rabbi Kiva says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have one Yavam, doesn't matter if you have two Yavamim. Nobody can perform hafara over here. They have lost that right to hafara. We'll see at the way end of the sugya, the Ran debates what exactly the status of the father is in this case, and whether he can be made for the Nidarim on his own. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Ma im isha shekana hu la'atzmo. When you're talking about a regular woman, a regular marriage, where kiddushin, erusin, already allows the husband a right of hafara along with the father, harihehu mefer nidareha, he's granted a right of hafara. Isha shiknolo min hashamayim, a woman where he gained that acquisition not of his own volition, but rather it's brought to him because the Torah dictates that that'll be the case. Meaning, min hashamayim, they've granted him this woman, and there is kiddushim. Enu din sheyafer nidareha, must be clear. It should be obvious that he should be able to even make fair the nidarim. So it's clear that Rabbi Eliezer believes that a kinyan min hashamayim is stronger than a kinyan that you do. The question of why that is the case, that a kinyan min hashamayim is better than a kinyan adam, mostly because a kinyan shamayim comes without any attachments, without any corollaries to it. When you have a kinyan adam, number one is it could lack in shleimut, and number two is that we have such a concept of ta'ut, where he made a mistake, or he didn't assess it properly. Over here, with regards to a kinyan shamayim, the kinyan shamayim is not subject to all of those outs, and therefore it's a much stronger kinyan. And what Rabbi Eliezer says is, if I have that stronger kinyan, then for sure I should be granted the right of hafara if I'm granted that right when I perform erusin. Amelo Rabbi Akiva, lo imamart bisha shekana hu la'atzmo shein lacherim barishut. Wait, how can you compare the cases? In a normal case of erusin or kiddushin, the individual has a sole relationship with this woman. There is nobody else in the picture aside for him and the woman. Now the father is still there, but in terms of the relationship of marriage, there's only one person involved, and that's this husband. That's why he has the right of hafara. Tumar bisha shiknu lo min hashamayim sheish lacherim barishut. We're talking about a yevama who says that there's an exclusive right of this individual or this brother to perform ibum over here or to have a relationship with her. Since he doesn't have exclusivity of relationship, he shouldn't have the right of hafara. Samarlo Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua now pipes in and says, Rabbi Kiva, you just supported my position. Akiva, dvarecha b'shnei yivamin. What you're saying is true when there are two yivamim involved, because then there isn't an exclusive right of marriage. And what you're saying, Rabbi Akiva, is right. It's different than erusin. Erusin deals with a unique and exclusive relationship between the husband and the wife. And that's why he's granted hafara. But when it comes to yibum, when you have shnei yivamim there, there's no exclusivity because you have two yivamim that can possibly perform the yibum over here. And because of that, that lack of exclusivity precludes him from having the right to be mefer the neder. As Rabbi Yeshua says, Eino Chanami, you're right, Rabbi Akiva. That's true when you have two yavamim. Oma meshiva yavam echad. Now that if you only have one yavam there, then you simulate the exclusivity that you have by an arus. Just like an arus has exclusivity, so too a single brother who has the right to perform yibum over here, he also has exclusivity, and therefore Rabbi Elazar's Kal v'chomer should be correct in that instance. And Rabbi Akiva, your response is not undermining that. The relationship of a Yavam to a Yavama is not as strong or as powerful as the relationship of an Arusa to her husband. And the Gemara will bring a bright dawn the second half of today's daf, and then we'll continue into the following daf, and there we'll discuss what exactly is the difference or the strength of the relationship of an Arus to an Arusa versus a Yavam to a Yavama, and why Irusin, by the nature of its particular laws, shows you that it's much stronger than the relationship that a Yavam has to a Yavama. So here you have three opinions in this Mishnah with regards to the right of a Yavam to perform Hafara. At the two extremes, you have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says a Yavam always has the right to perform Hafara. It doesn't matter whether he's the only Yavam or there are multiple Yavamin here, and we'll have to see why. How do you pick which one does it? But there is a right of Hafara. And then Rabbi Akiva believes there's never a right of Hafara when it comes to the Yavam. Rabbi Yeshua sits in the middle and says it depends. If you have multiple Yavamin, then you have a problem here because there's a lack of exclusivity. Therefore, there's no Hafara. On the other hand, if it's a single Yavam, that simulates an Arusa relationship, and therefara there would be a din of Hafara. So now the Gemara explains each of these three Tanaim positions. Bishlama Rabbi Akiva Savar Ein Zika. Rabbi Akiva basically believes that there is no Zika. The terminology that we saw many times in Yevamot doesn't have a clear definition, but it means that there is some sort of marital relationship between the Yavam and the Yevama. So even though the Yavam has done absolutely nothing here, because his brother has a Kinyan Kiddushin, or possibly even a Kinyan Nisuin with this woman, and Min HaTorah, the Torah dictates that the Yavam now has to deal with this woman and either perform Yibum or Chalitza, that connection with the woman that either allows him to perform Yibum or demands that he perform Chalitza, that is called Zika, that type of relationship or that connection to them. Rabbi Akiva believes that that connection doesn't exist. There is no quasi-marriage for the Yavam and the Yavama until he takes action. Without action, there is a dictate from the Torah about what he does, but their relationship is nothing until he does take action. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Yesh Zika. Rabbi Yeshua believes that there is a relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama, that they are quasi-married because of the way that the Torah dictates the movement of this woman from the brother to the other brother. That already creates a ready-made relationship or connection between them called the Zika. Ella, Rabbi Eliezer, Matame. What is the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer? So in understanding Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua's position, Rabbi Akiva says there is no relationship between the Avam and the Yavama. There's no relationship between them, then you can understand why the Avam has no right to do Hafara, because he's nothing like an Arus, or he's nothing like a Baal. He doesn't have any relationship with this woman. It's no different than him and any other woman in the world. And because of that, he has no right of Hafara. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua believes, Yesh Zika, that you do have a relationship. Well, if you do have a relationship, then you've simulated the relationship that a Arus would have in Arusa. And if that's the case, they should be able to perform Hafara here because he has that relationship. Now, in addition to that, Rabbi Yeshua also believes, Ein Breira, that there is no Breira over here. Therefore, when there's only one Yavam, that Zika or that relationship is strong enough to bind the two of them together, to make it that the Yavam has a right to be made from the Darim, because then he looks exactly like an Arus. On the other hand, when you have Shnei Yavamim, we have two brothers that could possibly perform Yibum over here, Ein Breira, we do not know which one of them is going to perform the Yibum. Therefore, the Zika spreads between them, and you could formulate that in one of two ways, that there's only one Zika, and the two brothers each have a portion of it, or each brother has a Zika with this woman. It's not 100% Zika, but each one of them has their own Zika with this woman until it's clarified. But because of that, each brother does not have enough exclusivity or a strong enough relationship with the woman to perform Hafara. Now you could ask, according to Rabbi Yeshua, okay, fine, one of them cannot perform the Hafara over here because of the fact that there's no Breira, but maybe both of them together should be able to perform the Hafara. Let both of the Yivamin say that they're mefer the neder, and then it should work because we're covered mimonavshach. One of the two of them has this relationship with the woman, and therefore that should be sufficient grounds in order to have it be that there is a hafara over here. Each one of them individually doesn't have sufficient grounds to create the hafara, but together they should have sufficient strength to do it, and therefore if they both are made for the nether, it should work. So now both the Rosh and the Ran answer this question differently. I'm going to postpone the answer, but this question will then be apparent when we go to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. But also just note here that when we say that Rabbi Yeshua says that there is no Breira, over here the Breira is slightly different than Breira in general. We saw this back earlier in the Masechta when we dealt with Breira, that there are different types of Breira. Sometimes Breira comes to clarify a situation in which you have information that is known and is in the world and factual, it's just that we don't have access to that information. We only get access to that information at a later point. And the Breira says that once I know that information, it's as if that information was there all along. And then you can have a Breira, which is the case here, where nobody knows the information. Breira here is not a clarification of what was known today, and therefore we're clarifying later. Here, the Breira will never be resolved in terms of what, at this moment, the relationship between these two Yevamim and this Yevamai is. Later on, when one of them decides to marry her or perform Yibum with her, that will clarify that he is the husband. But that doesn't change the fact that today he's not the husband, and that doesn't change the fact that it's retroactively not a clarification of something that was already factual. And therefore the Rashba spends time in terms of Breira and says this is a different type of Breira than other times that we use the term Breira in the Torah, and this is a what called a weaker form of Breira. Because even if you were to say there was Breira here, the outcome of that Breira would be different than other times or other cases in the Gemara, where the Breira is just clarifying information retroactively, and then we know information that could have been known all along, it just wasn't accessible to us. And then over here, even once we've clarified the situation, that doesn't change the fact that at one point in time, there were two brothers that had a possibility of Yibum. When we decide which one does the Yibum, or he does perform Yibum, there's a Breira that he is the proper husband. But that doesn't change the fact that earlier on, both of them were possible husbands to this woman. And therefore, the Breira here is a weaker form of Breira, and that might be why, even if you think there's Breira in other instances in the Torah, over here you might not think that there is Breira. Now, we understand Rabbi Akiva's position, we understand Rabbi Yeshua's position. Rabbi Eliezer, my tame. What's the explanation for Rabbi Eliezer's position? Iyesh zika en Breira. If there is zika, which is what Rabbi Yeshua holds, but there isn't Breira. Now, what do you mean there isn't Breira? Just say there is Breira, and then we solve our problem. So the Rosh states it this way, and this will be the answer to the question before that I asked about Rabbi Yeshua, as to why both of them cannot perform the Hafara together, which is the Rosh says like this, Afilu Savar Yesh Zika. Even if you believe there's Zika, Kevin De'ein Levarer Heach Yafer, since there is no clarification about who does the Hafara, Afilu Shneim B'Yachad Einam Yecholim, even two of them together can't do this, Lafer de kevin lo chashiva ki knusa, because she does not have a status of knusa, afilu lechad mehem, even to one of them, uchisha'a ve'alma hi legabayu, and she's like any woman in the world to them. So basically what the Rosh says is that when you have two yivamin, even if there is a zika, there is a dilution of that zika. The dilution of that zika makes it that there is no relationship between any of the parties here and the woman that is strong enough to grant them the right of hafara. So it doesn't matter if one of them doesn't, it doesn't matter if two of them do it, there is no relationship that is strong enough to grant the right of hafara. And that's the failure over here. And that's the Gemara's question. According to Rabbi Eliezer, even if you believe there's zika, there is no breira. There's just no possible breira over here because there is no strength of relationship. And even again, when we decide the information later, it doesn't change the status when we're talking about beforehand, that the two of them are waiting to decide who is going to perform the Yibum over here. And so because of that, there's a complete failure in the relationship, and therefore there is no hafara. And that's what he says. It's no different than in a woman and from the shuk. It's no different than any other woman in the world. On the other hand, Daran says over here that there is a gzera takatuf. The gzera takatuf is isha yikimenu, isha yifirenu. That you cannot have a hafara bisafek. It has to be isha. It has to be a person who is known and has that known relationship with the woman in order to perform the hafara. So whereas the Rosh sees this as a general principle, which is that any time you have two Yevamin, the Zika does not have any power to it, doesn't have any tokif to it. That's not unique to Nidarim. That's just a fact about a Zika in that situation. On the other hand, the Ran believes that possibly you could have a Zika. And even when you have Shnei Yevamim, maybe Braver would work, or maybe there's a strong enough relationship that these individuals could have other dinim of Erusin or other dinim of Nisuin that would apply here. But this is a unique din of Nidarim, which is Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yiferenu. It's a Gzeirat HaKatuv that Haparat Nidarim cannot take place when you have a Safek. Now, Salvechik Nishmu Chirim points out that he thinks that that's only when there's a Safek in the Chalut HaIshut. That's only when there's a Safek in the generation of the Ishut. It's not any Safek at all that has to do with any relationship. For instance, if you have a Safek Get or something like that, that would not necessarily preclude the individual from performing hafara. The only time that you have this Gzeret HaKetuv that excludes you is when the hafara is relying on some sort of safek in the generation of the relationship of these parties. And based on that, there's no clarification of who the husband is or who the relationship is with. And because of that, there's a failure to be able to do hafara over here. So that'll be the answer both for Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Lezer, we can't explain his position, because if there's Zika, how does he explain the fact that you can perform hafara here if the Gzeret HaKetuv is you need to know who the husband is, and here we don't know who the husband is. And for Rabbi Yeshua, that's why the parties together can't perform hafara, because there's no such concept of hafara. You can't share a hafara. Hafara has to be done by the exclusive party who is the husband of this woman, because that's Gzeret HaKetuv. So that's why you can't have the hafara be done by both of them in order to solve the problem. So again, we have Rabbi Akiva's position, we understand, no Zika. Rabbi Yeshua's position, we understand, yesh Zika, but that only works when it's a one-on-one relationship. As soon as you enter another party there, that makes it ein breira, and that ruins the Zika according to the Rosh. It's as if the Zika doesn't exist almost. According to the Ran, you've entered into a world where you're going up against the Gzeret HaKetuv, and there's a failure in the Gzeret HaKetuv that it be Isha Yeferena. And so because of that, it doesn't work. But according to Rabbi Lezer, we have no explanation for his Shita. He, of course, say that there is Zika, so that explains why when there's one Yavam, it works. But when there's Shnei Yavamim, we can't explain his position, and therefore the Gemara is in search of an answer as to what Rabbi Eliezer's position is. All right, Amar Rabbi Ami, Kigon Shasaba Mamar. That Rabbi Eliezer's position is premised on the fact that one of the Yavamim here performed Mamar. Now, as we mentioned, the Mishnah, Rabbi Lezer, you have to explain which of the Yevamim here is the party that's going to do the hafara. Well, now we have that, and that's what Rashi mentioned in the Mishnah. One of them acted to perform Ma'amar. So once he did Ma'amar, now we know who is the primary designee to be the Yavam over here. Once we know that, then he becomes the party to perform the hafara. Rabbi Lezer, Savalak, Beit Shammai. And he holds like Beit Shammai, Damri Ma'amar Kone Kinyan Gamur. That a mamar is kone kinyan gamur, in order to generate a strong enough relationship here that he can be made for the nidarim. So now, with regards to mamar, we know that in normal marriage, you have two stages to the marriage. You have the first stage, which is kiddushin or erusin, in which they create a kinyan between the husband and wife. And then there's a second stage, which is called nisuin. When it comes to yibum, there is no stage of kiddushin, because likely that was already performed by the brother who was once married to her. So the only stage that you have here is the stage of consummation, which is through bi'ah. There's a complete consummation of the yibum, but there's a lack of kiddushin over here. There's a lack of erusin. So what Chazal instituted is that there should be ma'mar, which will become a rabbinic type of kiddushin for the marriage of a yivama. The reason they did this is in order to make it a more standard type of marriage relationship. First of all, to identify which of the brothers would perform the yibum, as well as for this woman, that the engagement between the two parties will not start with bi'ah. And that won't just be nisuin all of a sudden, but rather that there is, quote unquote, a courtship of sorts that takes place over here. On the other hand, Beit Shammai disagrees and says Mamar is not an invention midrabanan, but rather is a vehicle de oraita, and that Mamar has the ability to create a kinyan whereby the Yavam becomes the exclusive party to this Yivama, and enough of a kinyan that she is deemed to be his wife, enough so that it would actually knock out other arayot, or other tzarot, that would enter into the picture. So what we're saying now is that Rabbi Eliezer's position is based on that mamar, first of all, that tells us which of the two Yivamim is picked. But according to Beit Shammai, who now says that it's such a strong relationship, that exclusivity and that relationship is what grants him the power to do the hafara. V'Rabbi Yoshua, now we're going to have to go back and explain all the other positions, because if Rabbi Eliezer is talking about mamar here, then how do we explain Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua? Rabbi Yoshua, Omer Lecha, or Rabbi Yoshua will say, Hani mili bechad yavam. That only is true by one yavam. Avo bei shnei yavamim, lo. By shnei yavamim, that will not be the case, even according to Beit Shammai. Why? Mi ika mide, dichi ati achui asarele bebiya o begita, umefer. How could it be that the other brother has a right to undermine the marriage here? Which is that if one of the yivamin goes ahead and performs mamar with this yivama, and then after he performs mamar with this yivama, his brother then either gives her a get or performs bia with her, that will actually spoil the yibum that he wants to perform. Because even though he has mamar, and even though it's a kinyan gamur, there still is some sort of residual mitzvah of yibum that's there. So even though, according to Beit Shammai, it would seem that it would be sufficient to give a get and to dissolve the relationship here if bamar has been performed, nevertheless, there's still this residual mitzvah of yibum, which is the beyond the consummation of the yibum. That residual consummation leaves it open to the possibility that the brother could wreck this marriage by doing something, either a get, bia, doing something that would steal away this yivama from his brother, even though he's already performed ma'amar with her. The fact that he has that spoiler position makes it that there is some sort of diminishment of the rights of the husband or of his exclusivity to this woman. In a case of an arus and arusa, no other party has that ability. If anybody else in the world gives her a get, it'll have no meaning, because he has exclusive rights to this woman, and that's why he has the ability to perform hafara. On the other hand, when it comes to this case of Yibum, even though he has pretty much a strong exclusive right to this woman, it still is not something that is so strong that it can block out any other party. Because when there's another Yavam, he has the ability to play spoiler, and that means that there's some residual right that is reserved for that party, and that means that he doesn't have, the Yavam who did perform Amar, doesn't have exclusive rights, and that is something that will block him from performing Hafara, because now he's not like an arus, he's not on that level. Again, if there's only one yavam, then Rabbi Yeshua says the mamar is strong enough and he looks like an arus and it's all fine. But if there are two yavamim, the fact that the other yavam can spoil already makes it that makes it not as strong as the relationship of an arus and an arusa. Rabbi Akiva savar ein zika. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva still believes that there is no zika here, and since there is no relationship between the two parties, mamar doesn't do anything. Mamar doesn't enhance something that doesn't exist. If there's no relationship, then mamar retains that status. Either you could say that he argues on Beit Shammai and just says that mamar doesn't create a kinyan gamur, or you could say that even if he believes that mamar is a kinyan, it's still not a kinyan on the level of erusin, because it is ein zika. There is some sort of failure in the relationship here that it doesn't get to the full relationship of an arus and an arusa. Now the Gemara says, Uli Rabbi Elazar. Now when we're talking about Rabbi Elazar over here, we're not talking about the Tana, we're talking about the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, who has an opinion, if you remember, that we saw in the Gemara and Yivamot, the Amar, he said, Mamar the Beit Shammai, Eino kone elo lidchot bitzara. That Mamar, according to Beit Shammai, where we said here is a Kinyan Gamor, that's one set of Amoraim believe that when Beit Shammai says that Mamar is a Kinyan Gamor, they mean literally a Kinyan Gamor. It's a full-fledged Kiddushin. It has the strength of Kiddushin, and it affects for all different sorts of dinim with regards to marriage. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat says that that's not the case, and that Mamar only has power with regards to this one item, which is that it protects the relationship between this Yavam and the Yavama if other issues come up that would have spoiled it in other situations. So Rashi claims that it's a case, which is not the way that the Gemara explains it in Yavamot. Rashi says, Shimaya bet nashim lezeh shemeit. this brother that passed away had two wives. So now we know that when you have these two wives, he can only marry one of them, not two of them, because he's boneh bayit echad v'lo shnei batim. So shneihem zukukot liyibum. V'yefshar liyabim shneihem. He still can't perform yibum with both of them. The bayit echad hu boneh v'enu boneh shnei batim. U'bahal milto kasari beit shemai de mamar koneh. The mamar helps you because you'll say b'zu mamar docheh letzara. The other one is released automatically u'matira l'shuk. Avadayin zu zukuka l'achiv d'matiyasa l'alei. So what we're saying here is that that mamar is strong enough to release the other yivama to the shuk. So that's what mamar does according to Beit Shammai. It's the equivalent of kiddushin to the one yivama that he performs it with, but it also releases the other yivama and says now she's free to go. And that's what the power of that mamar is, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Padat, the fee, what Rashi is explaining over here. And therefore, you do have a relationship here. You have a mamar that's so strong that it creates a relationship that frees the tzara, but that's all it does. It doesn't do anything else. Well, if it doesn't do anything else, then why does he have a right to perform hafara over here? He's not like a full-fledged husband. He's just someone who has a certain amount of rights, has created a relationship with this woman that relates to the other woman, but his brother still can be a wrecker here. If that's the case, he doesn't have a full-fledged kinyan. On the other hand, the Rosh, the Ran, and others explain it based on what the Gemara says in Yevamot, that it's a case where there were three brothers. Two brothers were married and one was single. The first brother who was married passes away. So the single brother now performs ma'amar with that yivama. Before he has a chance to consummate that yibum, the second brother dies. And now his wife, who is the sister to the first wife, is now available for yibum. So according to those that say yeshikar, according to Beit Hillel, he loses out on both of them. Because now he has two yivamot that are coming to him that are sisters. They are arayot to each other. They are achot zgukato. And therefore, he will have to release both of them. You have to perform chalitza and get with the one who had mamar plus chalitza. And you'll have to lose out on both of them. According to Beit Shammai, this mamar makes it that he has a strong enough relationship with this woman that when the second sister comes into the picture, she is pushed out as if she is a tzarat arayot, and therefore she's dismissed without having to do anything. So he keeps the woman that he performs mamar with. He can perform yibum and consummate that marriage. And the other woman is released automatically. So that's the case according to the other Rishonim. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Padat, who explains the mamar koneh of Beit Shammai in that manner, how is it possible that Rabbi Elazar is going to explain our Mishnah as a case where he can be made for the Nedarim? He doesn't have a strong relationship with this woman. He has a relationship for one exclusive right. That is protect his relationship with this Yivama and to deflect any other Yivamot. But that's it. Other than that, he has no relationship with her. How can he perform hafara over here? So ma'ika the meimar, what are we going to say here? Hocha b'mayaskinan, what's the case here? Kagon, shamat b'din, v'tchayev la mizonot. The case where she went to Beit Din and she compelled them to give mizonot. So what exactly the case is? We had a case like this in Yevamot, and that's what you can see. The Ran has a gear sign here, which is Kogod Shamad Bedin Ubarach, that he ran away, which is the case in Yevamot, which is that he performs Mama with her, or he's the only Yavam here, and then she takes him to Beit Din and says, good decision, either perform Yibum or perform Chalitza and release me. You got to do something. Then the guy takes off. So Beit Din over there has the right to then grant her Mizonot from that Yavam, because he is shirking his duties to deal with this woman, and therefore they grant her mizonot from that man. That's the case according to the Ran, and that's the way Rashi explains it over here. Mishasaba mamar, he has mamar with this woman, then she takes him to din because he's not consummating the yibum or not performing chalitza, and then he takes off and runs away. There, Beit Din will intervene to give her mizonot. That's the case according to Rashi, according to the Ran. The Rosh describes a different case where it's a case where there are two brothers, possibly. And the two brothers are here, and one of them is overseas. One of them is not to be found, whether he ran away or he's overseas. And now she's left with only one brother here, and he's not doing anything. So she goes to Beit Din and says, compel him to do something, because if he takes off or goes overseas too, I'm going to be stuck. So Beit Din will intervene in that case. It's not a case where there's mamar, which makes this person responsible towards her, but rather the other brother is overseas and he can't do anything. So the brother is left behind, has to act, and then Beit Din can intervene to protect the woman and force this Yavam to act and to either perform Chalitza or Yibum with her. If he doesn't, or if he runs away at that point, then we provide her with mizonot. So what does providing her with mizonot do? Uke de Rav Pinchas, Mishmei de Rovo, Damar Kola no deret, Al Dat Bala, he no deret. Because anybody who takes the neder does it with the implicit condition that her husband will approve it. As we mentioned yesterday, that's not just any time a person takes a neder, then she automatically has her husband in mind. There has to be some sort of relationship or some sort of connection between them that brings her to the point where on a doraita level, she is now accelerated the relationship that allows the husband to do hafara. So mizonot is something already where it strengthens the relationship between the husband and the wife. And based on that, the fact that the woman now will only take nidarim that relate or will be pleasing to her husband who's providing mizonot, therefore we say that the Torah's din of hafarad has now been accelerated and this husband now is deemed to be isha yifirenu. So that's the same thing over here. The fact that there's mizonot being given to this woman already deepens the relationship between them to the point where if she's taking a neder, she will incorporate some sort of right of refusal to the husband. And that shows you that the relationship is strong enough or has reached a point where hafara is relevant for this husband. And that is the way that Rabbi Eliezer will explain it. Now, the Ran brings up an issue on the Amud Bet with this explanation, because this basically follows the position of Rabbi Eliezer in the previous Mishnah. In yesterday's daf, we saw that Rabbi Eliezer says that mizonot are enough of a reason to allow the husband to perform hafara because of Rav Pinchas. So basically what you're doing over here is Rabbi Eliezer the Shitato, who is saying now that if you have this, either Mamar according to Rashi, according to the Rosh, this is the only Yavam that's available, she took him to Din, and the Beit Din forces him to pay mizonot. So now that he is forced to pay mizonot, Rabbi Eliezer deems that to be as if they are close enough or married enough based on Rav Pinchas, and therefore he has a right of hafara. So that explains Rabbi Eliezer's position. Rabbi Yoshua, how are we going to understand Rabbi Yoshua's position? Obviously, Rabbi Yoshua is talking about the same case as Rabbi Eliezer, where they amad bedin and they're paying mizonot. Now, that means that Rabbi Yoshua has to agree with Rabbi Eliezer's position. And what the Ran has a problem with, he mentioned this in the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, and he reiterates it here, which is that we have Rabbi Eliezer, and we have the Chachamim who argue on Rabbi Eliezer. Who are the Chachamim that are arguing on Rabbi Eliezer? Well, the Bar Plugta of Rabbi Eliezer all over Shas is Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer are Bar Plugtot, and that means that it seems likely that the person arguing on Rabbi Eliezer in the previous Mishnah with regards to Mizonot is Rabbi Yoshua. That means Rabbi Yoshua believes that Mizonot are not sufficient to generate a din of hafara. If that's the case, how's Rabbi Yeshua going to fit into this Mishnah based on this explanation? So now the Ran gives two explanations of how that this could work. He says, "Im kein, my time the Rabbi Yeshua demar b'yam echad yafer, igal meimer mishum desvir le diyesh zika ukukunusa damya." Either you're going to have to say that there's a zika here because of the mizonot and because of possibly mamar, according to Rashi and the Ran, there was already mamar performed. There's a strong enough connection between them and the zika. Has a din like knusa damya. It's as if they're fully married. The zika is so strong that the relationship is so powerful. That's why he can perform the hafara here. And it's nothing to do with the mizonot. The mizonot is just an indication of how strong their relationship is. Inami. The other possibility is Rabbanan de Pliga de Rabbi Eliezer Matnitin de Bogeret Lav Hainu Rabbi Yoshua. That the Baal Plukta, even though Rabbi Yoshua in general in Shas is the Baal Plukta over there in that Mishnah, he's not the one who argues on him. And Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Rabbi Eliezer that mizonot is a sufficient reason to grant hafara, and therefore it'll all be both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua's opinions here will be subsumed under Rabbi Eliezer's opinion from the previous Mishnah that mizonot is sufficient grounds for hafara. Now, obviously, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua still argue when they're two yivamim. If they're two yivamim, then b'shnei yivamim amar chamnayim b'din barach, and then he runs away plige. There, they're going to argue. Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, look, he already has to pay mizonot. He's paying mizonot. He's the deemed Yivam over here, and he can do the hafara. Rabbi Yeshua says that's not the case because it's premised on Rav Pinchas. Rav Pinchas says that a woman takes a neder with having in mind that her husband has a right of refusal. Over here, she's not clear in the end who's going to be her husband. The one who's paying him his own oath is off overseas and ran away. The other Yivam is still possibly a party or has an option to perform Yivam over here. So since there are still two possible Yivamim here, that's enough of a reason to dilute her feelings or dilute her taking of Nidarim, where she may not grant that right of refusal to this individual. And that's enough of a safek to say that there is no hafara, no right of hafara in this case. And of course, Rabbi Kiva will believe in all these instances that There's not enough of a relationship here to generate the hafara. And again, we'll explain Rabbi Akiva's position at the way end as to what is different between an arus and arusa versus these relationships of a yavam, yavama. Tznan, start on the top of the next amud. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Uma im isha shikana latzmo, arehu mefer nidareha. When it talks about an arus and arusa, where he creates the kinyan himself, he's able to be mefer nidareim. Isha shikno lo min hashamayim inudin shemefer nidareha. In the case of a woman where that happens automatically, memela, because of the din Torah, isn't it clear that he should have a right of hafara? Now, V'i, if you explain like Rabbi Ami, that the case in our Mishnah is Basha Asaba Mamar, that he performed Mamar, then Kanalat Smolu. Then even the case of Yivama is not a case of Kanulo Mina Shamayim. It's a case of Mamar where he's also performing a form of Kiddushin, and he's also actively creating the Kinyan over here. The Gemara says, no, it's Shekana Latzmo, Ayudei Shamayim. His Mamar just reinforces what's already there, Mina Shamayim. Meaning that there's already an existing relationship, Mina Torah or Mina Shamayim, a Zika between them, and the Mamar just strengthens or reinforces what's there already. And that's what it means, Mina Shamayim. It's, yes, he's making a Kinyan, but he's making a Kinyan about a relationship that already has some sort of connection. Now Gemara says, Tisho, Tabai Rabo, let at least us answer over here the question that Rabba posed in the Gemara and Yivamot, Mamar the Beit Shammai. According to Beit Shammai, where Mamar is Kone Kinyan Gamur, Erusinose, when it makes a Kinyan Gamur, does it make a full Kinyan to create Erusin? Onisuinose, or is it such a strong Kinyan that it creates Nisuin? What does that mean, that it's such a strong Kinyan that it creates Nisuin? Rashi says, Onisuinose, Yorsha, Umitamela, Vabale, Nidon Bechenek. It basically grants her the status of a Nisua, and all the halachot of a Nisua. Which means if he's a Kohen, he can be Metameh for her, will inherit her if she passes away, and if someone has an extramarital affair with her, they'll be punished by Chenek. I mean, she becomes a full-fledged Nisuat. That's the way that Rashi explains it. On the other hand, if you look in the Ran says over here, Onisuinosa, Dimbale Abelo Chupa, Kanila Liyorsha Letameila. So he doesn't think that it creates real Nisuin over here. It just allows you to skip the stage of Chupa in the consummation of the Yibum over here. Meaning that is the Kinyan of the Mamar so strong that it replaces not only the quote-unquote Kiddushin, but also the Chupa. And all you need is Biyah. So that's what the Ran says, that this Mamar, if you deem it to be Nisuin, will then be puter you from the need of Chupa. Now, that is somewhat difficult because there is no necessity for Chupa by a Yavam and a Yavama. Yibum is consummated through Biyah. That's how it is consummated. There's no necessity for chupa at all. So therefore, you have to really ask the question about what is nisuin osa in terms of eliminating the chupa over here. What you have to suggest is it's in a case where biyah is done either baal korcha or in some way there's a deficit in the biyah. Can the mamar then compensate for that deficit and make it that there is a full-fledged nisuin over here, according to the Ran? So that's the question that's being posed. And the Gemara is saying we should be able from our explanation now of the Mishnah to come to a conclusion about that question of Rabba. Tishot the Nisuin Oseh, it should be clear that Mamar creates Nisuin. Di Erusin Oseh, because if it makes Erusin, that's none. We have a Mishnah. Nara Murasa Via Ubala Mifrin Nidareh. Then both need to be parties to the Hafarat Nidareim. And our Mishnah says Yafer in the singular. So the fact that the Yavam has the sole right to be made for the Neder shows you that it must create Nisuin, and not just Erusin. It says, no, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my Yafer. Why is it written in a single Yafer? It means Yafer b'shutafut. It means that now that he is Mayfair alone, just that he's granted the right of Hafara along with the father. So what the husband had a right before to the Hafara, now the Yavam has that right. That right is to do it along with the father, and that remains in place. Now the Ran says he's not so sure he understands the Havmi of the Gemara, that the word Yafer over here should be Yafer levado. Because it's clear that the case in the Mishnah is not made a case of a Nara Amurasa, and a case where there's a shutafut between the Arus and the father. Because the Kal V'Chomer of Rabbi Eliezer is the difference in the relationship between an Arus and an Arusa, which is generated by an Adam, versus the relationship of Yavam Yavama, which is generated Min HaShamayim, because he's clearly talking about an action that generates a relationship between them, which is talking about Kiddushin and Mamar. So that Kal V'Chomer is only relevant with regards to Erusin and Mamar. And if you want to say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'amar Nisuinoseh, and that's what is Kal v'chomer is being generated, that that Ma'amar will act just like Nisuin, then Rabbi Kiva could have answered in the Mishnah that I don't think Ma'amar is Kin Nisuin. So the Ran in the end says that's exactly might be what happening in the Mishnah. That Rabbi Eliezer might believe that Ma'amar Nisuinoseh, but he does not create his Kal v'chomer or his position based on that. Because he says, I know that if I say Ma'amar Nisuinoseh, Rabbi Kiva can argue and just say Ma'amar Erusinoseh, and then he'll argue on me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, even according to you, Rabbi Kiva, who says that Ma'amar Erusinoseh, there still should be a Kal v'chomer. And that Kal v'chomer is such, that's what he mentions in the Mishnah. And then Rabbi Kiva says, even according to that, I don't think that's right. I don't even think Ma'amar does Erusin because, and then Rabbi Kiva explains his position. So that's why we might have had a half a meaning that the word Yafer meant that he could do it alone. That we're talking about a case of Nisuin, because Enoch and Amir, Rabbi Eliezer might believe that Ma'amar will send Nisuin. The Mishnah is talking about Ma'amar that is making a Rusin, because there Rabbi Eliezer is trying to address Rabbi Kiva, and therefore he's saying to Rabbi Kiva, even if you don't think Ma'amar does Nisuin, at least it should do a Rusin. And Rabbi Kiva says, I don't think that either. I don't even think it does a Rusin, and that's his answer to that question. But that's what leads us to the Havamina, that Yafer would have been exclusive to the Yavam. The answer is no, that it is Bishutafut. Now Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi ki Rabbi Ami. We have a braita that supports Rabbi Ami's explanation of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Ma'amar. Shomeret Yavam, Ben Yavam Echad, Ben Shnei Yavamim, Rabbi Lezer Omer Yafer, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Lechad Velo Lishnaim, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Lechad Velo Lishnaim. That's identical to our Mishnah, the opinions of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Lezer. So now Rabbi Lezer brings a reason over here that's slightly different than our Mishnah. Ma imishash ein lo chelek ba achlo tavod irshuto. And they're talking about a case of an arus and arusa, where prior to this point in time they had no existing relationship. Mishabat irshuto nigmar lo. Once she comes into his possession, it's a strong enough kinyan that he's able to perform hafara. Ishash eish lo chelek achlo tavod irshuto, with a woman who he has a relationship with prior to performing the ma'amar over here. Mishabat Yerushuto and Udin should take more law, then certainly that should be strong enough in order to allow him to form Hafara in this instance. So, as opposed to our Mishnah, where Rabbi Lezer gives the reasoning as being a difference between a Kinyan, a human Kinyan, versus a Kinyan Min HaShamayim, over here, Rabbi Eliezer says the difference is between whether there's a pre-existing relationship or not. In the case of Arus and Arusa, there's no pre-existing relationship, and yet you're able to create a strong enough Kinyan for Hafara. So in a case of Yavam and Yavama, where there is a pre-existing relationship, that certainly then the Kinyan or the Ma'amar there should be strong enough to create a Gemira that allows for Hafara. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, lo. Im amart b'isha shekana hu la'atzmo. When it comes to a woman where an arus and arusa, shehem she'ein lo chelek ba, kach ein la'acherim chelek ba. Because that woman, prior to getting engaged to this individual, she had no relationship with him, but she also had no relationship with anyone else. And therefore, this woman was on her own, and now she becomes the exclusive relationship with this husband who just became engaged to her. Tumar b'isha shikno lo min ha-shamayim. But when you talk about a yevama, k'shem sheish lo ima chelek, just like he has a prior relationship with her, kach yesh la'acherim chelek ba. So do all of his brothers who are potential yevamin over here, they also have a chelek in her. And therefore, the chelek is not exclusive to him. So amalo Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua makes the same claim to Rabbi Akiva again. Akiva, devarecho b'shnei yivamim. What you're saying is true when you have multiple yivamim. Mata mishiva yivam echad. What are you going to say when there's only one yivam? When there is one yivam, then there's only one pre-existing relationship between that yivam and the yivama. And when he does ma'amar, it should strengthen it to the point where he has a right of hafara. Amale. So now Rabbi Akiva gives his answer, which is really the underlying part of Rabbi Kiva's Shita, which is Klum Chilaknu Al Yavam Echad Vashnei Yavamim. Do we ever distinguish between one Yavam and two Yavamim? Bench Asaba Mamar, Bench Lo Asaba Mamar. Whether he performed Yamar, didn't perform Mamar, we don't make any distinction. Ukushar Dvarim Kein Nidarim. Nidarim is no different than anything else. So just like the relationship in Arus and Arusa has halachot that are exclusive to them, we'll have to see what those are, and don't come to a Yavam Yavamah relationship, so to Nidarim follows that same pattern, that by Yarus Arusa, the Arus will have a right of Hafara, by Yavam Yavama, the Yavam will not have that right. And Rabbi Kiva, with that answer, trumps Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and his Talmid, Ben Azai, says, Chaval alecha ben azai shlo shimashted Rabbi Akiva. Woe is to you, ben azai, that you did not service Rabbi Akiva, you did not mishamesh and learn more from Rabbi Akiva. Truth is, ben azai is a talmid of Rabbi Akiva. He's even so close to Rabbi Akiva that he had the potential to marry the daughter of Rabbi Akiva based on the stories in Ketubot and Yevamot. But nevertheless, what ben azai is saying is that Rabbi Akiva's answer is so strong that ben azai says, I should have spent more time with Rabbi Akiva. Had I spent more time with Rabbi Akiva, I would have known even more and I would have been even better. Now the Gemara says, my Tanya Kavati de Rabbi Ami. Why is this bright supportive of Rabbi Ami's position? Rabbi Ami's position is that we're talking about a case of Ma'amar. Because it says in the Brayta, Diktani, Bench Asaba Ma'amar, Bench Lo Asaba Ma'amar. Because the Brayta says whether he performed Ma'amar or not. So you see that Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Akiva's positions apply even when there is Ma'amar. So that's like what Rabbi Ami said. Rabbi Ami explained that our mission is talking about Ma'amar. The Brayta acknowledges that that machlok between Rabbi Elezer, Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Akiva exists even when Ma'amar is there. Inami, Mireisha, you learned it out from earlier in the Brayta, Diktani, it says there that once he enters into his possession, then they have a full relationship, a closed relationship in which he can perform hafara. Vidilo kodesh, my nigmara lo. If there's no kiddushin over here, then what type of nigmara lo is there? So now, in terms of the kiddushin, that's true by narus and arusa. That's the lashon that's used over here, which is mishabat the rishuto nigmara lo. Once she comes into his possession, there's a full ownership or a full kinyan. That's Barus and Arusa. Isha, she is so chalek, achlo tovadu shoto. Mishibat rusho, and if the end should take more low, certainly there should be a gemira here. Well, how do you create a gemira unless there's kiddushin? So that shows you that there must be mamar. By Arus and Arusa, the kiddushin is what creates the gemira. By Yavam and Yavama, what creates a gemira like that? That is the mamar. Where it says, tifshot minei, kashasaba mamar. That will prove to you that there must be Ma'amar over here because that's how the Gemira was created. Now we go back and explain what is Rabbi Akiva's position. My uchishar dvarim kendidarim. Just like other things, Yavam and Yavamar are not similar to Narus and Arusa. So too is true by Nidarim. So what is it meant by that, Diktani? Amarav ohochiktani. Iyata modeh, shein chayavim skila kinaram urasa. When you have an Arus and Arusa that have kiddushin, if there's an extramarital affair, then there's a punishment by skila. On the other hand, when you have a Yavam that forms Ma'amar with a Yavama, if there's an extramarital affair at that point in time, there will be no punishment of Skila. That shows you that the relationship between Arus and Arusa is much more powerful, stronger than that of a Yavam and Yavama. By the nature of the punishment, you can see that the halachot of an Arus and Arusa are distinct and differentiated from a Yavam and Yavama, and the relationship of an Arus and Arusa is much stronger than that of a Yavam and Yavama. And that's where Rabbi Akiva's point is. You can have hafara by an arus, but not by yavam, because the arus's relationship is much tighter with his arusa. Amravashi matnita nami deka. Our mishnah supports that diuk. En yavama gmura liisha kishem sharusa gmura liisha, because that's the final line in the mishnah. I'm questioning whether that is in the girsa or not, but that final line is en yavama gmura liisha, that a yavama is not related or have a relationship with her yavam to the extent that an arusa has it with her arus. That's exactly what it's saying at the end of the mishnah, that there's a difference between the arusa-arusa relationship, which is exclusive and tighter and much more powerful, and that's what grants the right of hafara, versus the avam-yavama, which is a looser relationship. And the proof to that is the difference in the punishment. Arusa gets a punishment of skila when the arusa has an extramarital affair. That's not true by yavama in the relationship, even if there was mamar performed between a yavam and a yavama. In Aloha, the Ran quotes in the Ramban, the Kaimalon Karabi of Akiva, Deino Mefer Lola Echad Velo Lishnaim. There's no offer out whether there's one Yavam or Shnei Yavamim. Davagav, the Kaimalon Yish Zika. So even though we paskin that there is a concept of Zika, and Zika does exist, and Rabbi Akiva's position is Ein Zika, that might be before we brought the Breita. I mean, that was our explanation of Rabbi Akiva's position before we brought the Breita down. Once we have the Breita, we have a sure different explanation of Rabbi Akiva's position, which is the difference between Arus and Yavam, or Arusa and Yavama, is the nature of their relationship. Forget about Zika. It has to do with the strength of their relationship and the punishment that's associated with it. And therefore, even though we pass on the Yesh Zika, you can still hold like Rabbi Akiva that there is no right of Hafara for the Yavam. Because the fish and a Yavama, Gmura Isha, is not fully married to the Yavama like a Arus is to his Arusa. And since Rabbi Akiva trumped Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer in his response, and Ben Azai compliments Rabbi Kiva's response. That gives us more reason to paskin like Rabbi Kiva, and that's the way we paskin according to the Ramban. Then the Ran says, "Umistapikli kaven diyavam lo matzi mefer ab b'makom yavam min erusim imatzi mefer olo." What happens in an instance where the woman was originally mi'uras to a brother, and then that brother passes away, and now she falls to Yibum? So we paskin like Rabbi Kiva that the yavam doesn't have a right of hafara. Now, in the instance where there was no Yibum over here, and the Arus had been knocked out of the picture either through Gerushin or he died and there was no Yavam over here, then it would be Nitrokna La'av. That power would go back to the father and the father would retain his exclusive right of Hafara. So now the question is, now in the case of Yavam, what happens over here? And that's what the Ran says, I have a Safek. Kevin the Yavam lo matzi mefer, abim kum Yavam min Arusim, imatzi mefer alone. Does the father then get the exclusive right again to be mefer or not? And I don't know any conclusion in this, but the Gemara never addresses this issue. Mio mistavrali says, but I believe diminidarim shinadra b'beit avia or ba'oda arusa, nidarim that she took when she was still in her father's house or when she was still engaged to her original husband before he passed away, matzi mefer left. But there, for sure, he can do it on an exclusive basis. Because whenever there's no arus, then all of those powers reside with the father. And so therefore, for sure, over there, he should have exclusive rights to be made from the Nizarim. Since the Yavam doesn't get any rights here to be made from the Nizarim, it's as if he doesn't exist. And therefore, the father will have exclusive rights to what the Arus had beforehand, and he can be made for any Nizarim that were in his house or in the house of the Arus. In addition, he says, what I explained, B'Shem Rabotai Balei Tosafot, with regards to Beit Shammai, says that by Nizarim, that were already heard by the Arus Arishon, that the Arus Acharon has no rights in them. And since he has no rights in them, then all those rights reside with the father. The same will be true here. Because the Yavam gains no right of Hafara. And since he gains no right of Hafara, everything will go to the father. So that's another reason to say that the father will have exclusive rights. But on the other hand, Miyum Nidarim Shinadra Bishut Yavam, Nidarim that she took after her husband passed away, while she was under the auspices of the Yavam, Akati Misfekali, I don't know which way that should go. It says that what I think and how to be machri over here needs more iyun, more plumbing into the shitot of the rishonim to understand what should be the psak in this case. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on Ayin Hey, Amud Aleph.